Welcome, everybody, into the Hollywood Lot Life podcast, where we explore the ins and outs of the elusive entertainment industry. If you've ever dreamed of working in Hollywood or making it as a studio executive, then this is the podcast for you. Please, before we start, definitely make sure you subscribe to the channel so you don't miss a single episode. So whether you're kicking back on the sofa or listening while you drive to work, a huge shout out to you for joining us. On today's show, I'm really excited. I've got one of my really good friends, Mikey, who has most recently joined a new job. So I'm excited to talk about that. And let's get to know him a little bit more. Mikey is a department assistant at Netflix and has only been in the role for about 2 months now. Before this, he spent 4 years at Disney in business affairs, assisting with casting for big budget titles on Disney Plus and theatrical releases. Mikey started in the industry as a child actor, which he sparked his passion for entertainment. Now he's excited to contribute and learn from the vibrant community at Netflix. And just a quick editor's note here, the views expressed here are solely Mikey's and not of Netflix or Disney's. So Mikey, welcome on to the Hollywood Lot Life.
Thank you for having me on the Hollywood Lot Life. I'm very happy to be here.
So right now, you're a department assistant at Netflix. Do you work in a specific department or where do you go?
So the assistants at Netflix, it goes DA, and then there's AA, and then EA. So you can think of DA as the department assistants. So department assistants are sort of like their internal temp pool, but they're not temps. They're full-time employees. So they kind of move to where the need is, and that would involve people going on vacations or extended leaves or even roles that they're trying to fill, like backfill sometimes. And the department assistants are good. They have to be very flex because they don't really know what team they're going to be on until like a week or so before. And then AAs are more traditional admin assistants. And admin assistants, it's just an assistant and you have a permanent desk. And then EA is like the top above that. And it's usually you're supporting like more high level people and maybe more job responsibilities involved. So that's ultimately, I think, the goal of a lot of assistants at Netflix, to get to EA, although I know some people who love being an AA and will stay there forever. It just kind of depends on your vibe. So right now I'll be starting content acquisitions, but before that I was in product and technology. So it kind of really does change.
Well, I've got so many questions around that and leading into it and why you made the move. So let's rewind the clock a little bit and just start at the beginning. Are you originally from LA? Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Palm Springs, but I always feel weird saying I'm from there because I have no memories of that place. All my memories are here in LA. I grew up in Encino, which is very much classic LA Valley.
So you were a child actor.
I was. It's what kind of got me into the bloodstream of the industry, I feel like. I was in kindergarten in Encino, and my mother was very active in the school. And there was a casting director that came to the school and was saying that Disney was doing a movie, Newsies at the time, so in the 90s. And they were looking for extras to be Newsies. So that is what got me involved. And then I was a little newsie in kindergarten. And then I just sort of stayed in the industry for a long time, several years. And then I feel like that's probably why those were very formidable years. So like, I feel like it's why I want to be staying in the industry. But at some point I was like, I don't want to act anymore. It was like, it's a whole different mentality. And I just would rather be behind what's being created than in front of it.
So did you go to school, university at all for studying to be in entertainment?
Yeah, I did. For college, I stayed in LA. I went to Cal State Northridge and they have a film program there.
And so you graduated with a degree in cinematography?
It was cinema and TV arts with an emphasis on cinematography. That's what they call it.
When you graduated, did you go right into working in entertainment?
No, when I graduated college, that was 2007. And that was during the midst or just before we were kind of starting the writer strike that we had last time, not this most recent one, the one before. So the industry was just in turmoil at that time. So finding industry work was very difficult. I had this mentality, it was like, oh, I'm going to get out of film school and people are going to see how amazing you are. And they're going to be like, here's a job. That didn't happen. I worked basically on some productions is like, you know, you're like a PA or assistant production coordinator ish things. And at some point I was like not making very much money. I knew I could not be a waiter to support myself because I have no wait staff mentality. So I was like, I guess I got to get a job. So I got a job that was very, very far from film. And that was in customer service, call center stuff, which was very rough. And I was there for so long, so way too long. But while you're there, you know, you try to keep your little flames alive. So you do your little personal projects. And I had like an internship at one point at like an editing house. And they were doing 3D stereoscopic editing. So they were turning 2D into 3D. But it was interesting. I was there for a few months. And then me actually getting into the industry was like a job that I felt like I was really in it. It was probably Disney, where I felt like I wasn't scrambling and I wanted to be in a studio. I think being a newsie on the lot at Universal, they filmed it at Universal the lot. I became very accustomed to being on the lot life. So that was where I was wanting to end up, and Disney's where it all happened. And I started there as a temp. And
how did you find temp work? Like, walk me through that process.
Yeah, of course. So the temp thing was interesting because I was very much struggling to get into the studio system. You know, you apply organically on their website, and unless you have some amazing resume of work, it's kind of very hard. And plus my resume was like very puttering around, like, oh, I was like the call center. I worked at a finance place, and it doesn't really scream work at Disney, even though I had other stuff before that. When I was working at the finance company, I just happened to network with someone who was very generous that was at Disney. And I was telling them about my struggles. And they said, well, Disney gets their temps through an agency called Apple One. Apple One is a very large temp agency here in LA. And specifically the ones out in like the Glendale area. So he said to apply, get in their system, and then when positions start to open up at Disney where people need temps, you'll be able to kind of funnel your way in. And that's how it worked, actually. It worked bizarrely well. Like, I got into Apple One. My friend asked me to cover his desk one day. And from there, I just kept getting work. And then business affairs came about, my permanent job, just because as a temp, I had the mentality, it was like, I'm not saying no to anything. I'll just, if they call me and they say, this is what we need you to do, just do it. Don't be scared. So business affairs ended up being a temp job that turned into a full-time job.
So you were temping around at Disney and just going from desk to desk, and then this job came in and they're like, we have a full-time offer? Or was it from Disney? Who was the person that offered you the full-time gig?
Actually, it was kind of interesting because I temped in business affairs, and that day the assistant wasn't there. It was very traditional. I'm there temping for these three executives. And then one day I was asked to come back not long thereafter to temp again. But when I got there, the assistant was there, and I was very confused. I was like, am I not supposed to be here? And she's like, no, actually, they are looking for someone to hire to be full time. And you seem to be the person that was the best at following directions, which seems okay. I'm not complaining. It all worked out. So they liked your personality. So they think they want you to kind of be around more. So I stayed on the desk as a temp for a while before the job was officially posted. And then when the job was posted, you have to apply organically because other people do need a chance to apply. And then you just kind of hope that, you know, they go with you and that no one better than you applies. And no one did, I guess, because they offered the job to me. But it was wild.
And then what are business affairs? Can you explain what that department does?
Yeah, 100%. Because when I got the call for business affairs, I did not know what it was. And business affairs at a studio, which seems to be pretty traditional for all the legacy studios, even Netflix, is business affairs is a group of attorneys, entertainment attorneys at a studio, and they partner with creative. So for an example, like one of the projects I worked on was Hocus Pocus 2. So that's a good example because they're like, creative is like, we want Hocus Pocus 2 to come back and we want the three ladies to be back. So then they partner with business affairs, who then goes out to the agents and attorneys to try to make it happen. So they're trying to just close deals for what creative wants, and they just do their best and make it happen. But they only do above the line. So the A-list, B-list, directors, writers, and producers, anyone below that is, it's just traditional casting. But if it involves a considerable amount of money and a lengthy contract. It goes through business affairs.
What does like your day-to-day look like when you're working in this business affairs team?
The traditional day at a business affairs desk is my bosses will tell me, hey, I need you to like set up calls with these agents, these attorneys. Sometimes it's a lot of calendar management, very heavy calendar management of just making sure they have the conversations that they need to hopefully get a deal done, and having a lot of follow-up on chasing people to have the conversations, and also a lot of paperwork because a lot of contracts are coming through me. And I think it's probably good to know, like I have zero legal background. I know the other assistant that's working there was like a paralegal, but you don't need necessarily, unless they have you doing drafting, like drafting contracts, you don't need a legal background, which is very nice.
So how long were you there for?
I was at Disney for 4 years, just a little over that. And I left very suddenly when this opportunity popped up. And now I've been at Netflix for almost 2 months.
What made you want to leave? What was like?
Well, I don't know if how much your listeners or viewers follow the industry, hopefully a lot if they're watching this, but Disney last year was in a big disarray with the writer's strike, and we had a big CEO Game of Thrones sort of situation happening, and there was that looming 7,000 layoffs, and I just felt like some of the energy that really attracted me to Disney was just sort of deflated. And I started to realize that in my job, if I wanted to get bigger, get better, do something different, I needed to change because the studio was doing a huge reorganization. Opportunities were very minimal. Although I've heard things have definitely gone the other way now, there's more opportunity now. But I felt like in order for me to do something that would be really challenging and challenge myself, I needed to just be somewhere else. Because I mean, to be fair, the only studio I'd been at was Disney. It was my first job.
And what made you want to go to Netflix over all the other studios or streaming services?
Yeah, I had heard that Netflix was very generous with their assistants in terms of wanting to see them succeed. Disney had shades of that, but I felt like maybe because Netflix was newer in the sense of it's still considered almost like a baby studio, even though they're such a big player now, that they kind of had this thought process of from the ground up, everyone is really appreciated. We want everyone to be part of this growing machine and be better. So that was really it. I mean, I had heard such great things about how admins were treated there, and not that I was mistreated at Disney, but I knew at Netflix, I would just be given more. Just more to do, more to like stretch. Because when you've been in a job like business affairs for 4 years, it becomes very routine. Like, you know how to do everything, you know how to do deal memos, you know how to do read a contract, all that. But there was nowhere for me to go. Especially at that time, there weren't any openings that appealed to me, but there was one at Netflix that did.
And you're in those like super tall Netflix towers in Hollywood?
Mm-hmm. Hollywood on Sunset. I'm in those really big buildings where there's a big N on the top.
Right in that
section. They actually have three in Hollywood, and they have one in Burbank, and then they're very global. We have all kinds of global operations.
And so with Netflix, when you're in between jobs, are you like out of work per se? Are you still getting paid? How does that whole process work?
So it's a guaranteed 40-hour week. I'm not salary, I'm hourly. It kind of varies. Sometimes you don't have very much time between job. I'm just very lucky that my last posting ended and then I had this week to sort of decompress. But I had some people in the DA pool that were hired. There were four of us. I, for some reason, third week out, I started. The other ones did not start until like this past week, which is very interesting. And so they had a lot of downtime. So what they do is not, you don't try to think of it as like, oh, I'm going to downtime, I'm sleeping, I'm not doing anything. They try to encourage you to do personal growth stuff. So you can use that time for networking. They're really big on networking with the other DAs or AAs or EAs, seeking out opportunities to shadow other people to improve yourself. There's a lot of like educational things you can do internally for the processes we use, because Netflix is a very Google-based company. I use all the Google suite of everything. And they have some proprietary apps that you can learn to use. That's the time to do it. So you can make the most of it. It's not just me going to Disneyland, which I can't do. I can't do anymore, but I'm actually trying to do things that are beneficial, but it's interesting. It's just a whole different way of life because I have a lot more freedom than I'm used to having.
What are some of your favorite experiences working in your career, either at Disney or Netflix?
Some of my favorite experiences actually oddly weren't at a studio. They were more just like funny stories of me working on, working on sets. PAs are hard work. If you have people who are watching this, PAs are tough, but it definitely is. Good stories always come from it. Like I was working at I had to show up at this abandoned hospital in Baldwin Park at like 2 a.m. because they were going to be filming there the next day. And it was just me and the night security guard. I had to drop stuff off and I'm like, I have to go use the restroom. Where is it? And he's like, it's in that building. You have to go in there. And I'm like, okay, I'll go in there. And I went in there and I'm walking around this abandoned hospital in the middle of L.A., and I'm walking around, I find the bathroom, I'm trying to find my way out. And then you see the sign that says morgue and you're like, oh, and you run out. And then I went out to the security guard and he's like, did you find them? I was like, I did. He's like, I wouldn't go in there. I've been out here and I've been seeing like lights turning off and on. And then after I left, I started seeing it on like those ghost hunting shows, like that people are going into this abandoned hospital that I'm like, I was just casually wandering around there looking for the bathroom. So it's stuff like that. I mean, I feel like PAs is definitely not something that I ever recommend for some reason to people to do just because it's so tough. And I don't really traditionally feel like you get a lot out of it other than just some set experience. But those experiences, I think, are very important. And they're ones that I always think back on, even as crazy as they were. All those kinds of stories are ones I reflect on.
What are some of like the biggest struggles for you, at least in your career, trying to get into entertainment to now?
I think it's so tough getting into the industry because it really is sometimes just a matter of chance or who you know. Those seem to be the two. Unless you're like someone that has this amazing magnetic personality and they have such like a plethora of work that they've been able to create for themselves, like getting into the industry is just so hard. I had that vision of getting out of school and just being offered work because I felt like I was so amazing. And that's totally not true. Or even working as a PA and then being a PA, you can network your way to like get onto something, but nothing ever seemed to traditionally go that route. I feel like what you need to do, or what I did that worked for me, is do that temp work. You know, do the networking. Networking is the biggest thing. Go to those functions. Don't be scared. Just go and just talk to people because there are so many people I know now that are in the industry just because of someone they met that got them in the door. So many people. And that seems to be really the way. And it's very hard when you're like not in LA, especially if you're trying to do that. But you can. You just got to put yourself out there as much as possible and something will stick. I think I had that sensibility, like, I was a little scared to do that. And when I was finally not, it all worked out. So I just feel like that's the way to do it. That's what worked for me. It was a big struggle though.
So one thought I thought of while you're talking is the emphasis on networking. What does networking look like for you and how do you go about it?
For me, it's just having as many casual conversations as I can. You know, I've been in new friend groups where like, you meet people, especially I think being in LA, you just always seem to run into people who are in the industry doing something. Like getting to know them as a person and trying to develop even just little friendships. That's sort of how it's worked for me. Like Disney worked out because of a friendship. Netflix sort of worked out because of a friendship because I had always wanted to be there, but I had friends that worked there. So they kind of opened the door initially. So it's about maybe not approaching everything from like a business stand, like saying like, oh, you and I need to be friends so that I can get from A to B. It's more just being that genuine, like you're really trying to be friends because you know you want to know their industry. And if they feel that they want to help you, they will, which a lot of people will. Like I'm very much that. Like I've helped people get into Disney. I've helped I've tried to help people get into Netflix. It's just a little tougher, but because I'm so new. But that's pretty much it. And just go to those, even if it seems silly, those mixers sometimes you hear in LA, you'll see on Facebook, like, ooh, it's the mixers of the young people in the industry. Just go, you know. The worst thing that can happen is that you don't like make a connection with anybody. The best thing that can happen, yeah, is that you make that tiny connection, that tiny little spark that turns into something bigger. My brother's also in the industry, and he is in the industry because of something very similar. A little networking thing, little spark turned into a big thing. So I think that's very important to just, maybe if you try to change your mind, don't think of it like a job, just try to make it part of your life. And then it sort of just works out that way.
Well, it looks like that's all the time we got, Mikey. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. You've been a great guest.
I'm glad to have been here. We finally made it happen.
I know.
It was very, I love the opportunity to talk about myself.
Yes.
So thank you for giving me a platform.
I love when people talk about themselves, and I'm here to listen.
Well, please keep the flame going. This is, we'll make Hollywood Lot Life bigger and better with every episode.
There we go. Well, it's only possible because everybody who's listening at home, thank you so much for making it to the end. If you haven't already, please subscribe and follow the podcast on, you know, Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen. That would mean so much to me. It means so much to Mikey because, you know, he gets his story out there. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you later.